This is the reading for June 5th, Job chapter 6. Then Job answered, "I wish my suffering could be weighed and my misery put on scales. My sadness would be heavier than the sand of the seas. No wonder my words seem careless. The arrows of the Almighty are in me. My spirit drinks in their poison. God's terrors are gathered against me. A wild donkey does not bray when it has grass to eat, and an ox is quiet when it has feed. Tasteless food is not eaten without salt, and there is no flavor in the white of an egg. I refuse to touch it. Such food makes me sick. How I wish that I might have what I ask for, and that God would give me what I hope for. How I wish God would crush me and reach out his hand to destroy me. Then I would have this comfort and be glad even in this unending pain, because I would know I did not reject the words of the Holy One. I do not have the strength to wait. There is nothing to hope for, so why should I be patient? I do not have the strength of stone. My flesh is not bronze. I have no power to help myself, because success has been taken away from me. They say a man's friends should be kind to him when he is in trouble, even if he stops fearing the Almighty. But my brothers cannot be counted on. They are like streams that do not always flow, streams that sometimes run over. They are made dark by melting ice and rise with melting snow. But they stop flowing in the dry season. They disappear when it's hot. Travelers turn away from their paths and go into the desert and die. The groups of travelers from Tema look for water, and the traders of Sheba look hopefully. They are upset because they had been sure. When they arrive, they are disappointed. You also have been no help. You see some terrible, and you are afraid. I have never said, give me a gift, use your wealth to pay my debt, save me from the enemy's power, buy me back from the clutches of cruel people. Teach me, and I will be quiet. Show me where I have been wrong. Honest words are painful, but your arguments prove nothing. Do you mean to correct what I say? Will you treat the words of a troubled man as if they were only wind? You would even gamble for orphans and would trade away your friend. But please look at me. I would not lie to your face. Change your mind. Do not be unfair. Think again. Because my innocence is being questioned, what I am saying is not wicked. I can tell the difference between right and wrong." 1 Kings chapter 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite was a prophet from the settlers in Gilead. "I serve the Lord, the God of Israel," Elijah said to Ahab. "As surely as the Lord lives, no rain or dew will fall during the next few years unless I command it." Then the Lord spoke his word to Elijah, "Leave this place and go east and hide near Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan River. You may drink from the stream, and I have commanded ravens to bring you food there." So Elijah did what the Lord said. He went to Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and lived there. The birds brought Elijah bread and meat every morning and evening, and he drank water from the stream. After a while, the stream dried up because there was no rain. Then the Lord spoke his word to Elijah, "Go to Zarephath in Sidon and live there. I have commanded a widow there to take care of you." So Elijah went to Zarephath. When he reached the town gate, he saw a widow gathering wood for a fire. Elijah asked her, "Would you bring me a little water in a cup so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get his water, Elijah said, "Please bring me a piece of bread too." The woman answered, "As surely as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread. I have only a handful of flour in a jar and only a little olive oil in a jug. I came here to gather some wood so I could go home and cook our last meal. My son and I will eat it and then die from hunger." "Don't worry," Elijah said to her. "Go home and cook your food as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread from the flour you have and bring it to me. Then cook something for yourself and your son. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, that jar of flour will never be empty, and the jug will always have oil in it, until the day the Lord sends rain to the land." So the woman went home and did what Elijah told her to do, and the woman and her son and Elijah had enough food every day. The jar of flour and the jug of oil were never empty, just as the Lord, through Elijah, had promised. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. The woman said to Elijah, "Man of God, what have you done to me? Did you come here to remind me of my sin and to kill my son?" Elijah said to her, "Give me your son." Elijah took the boy from her, carried him upstairs, and laid him on the bed in the room where he was staying. Then he prayed to the Lord, "Lord my God, this widow is letting me stay in her house. Why have you done this terrible thing to her and caused her son to die?" Then Elijah lay on top of the boy three times. He prayed to the Lord, "Lord my God, let this boy live again." The Lord answered Elijah's prayer. The boy began breathing again and was alive. Elijah carried the boy downstairs and gave him to his mother and said, "See, your son is alive." "Now I know you really are a man from God," the woman said to Elijah. "I know that the Lord truly speaks through you." 1 Kings chapter 18. During the third year without rain, the Lord spoke his word to Elijah, "Go and meet King Ahab, and I will soon send rain." So Elijah went to meet Ahab. By this time there was no food in Samaria. King Ahab sent for Obadiah, who was in charge of the king's palace. Obadiah was a true follower of the Lord. When Jezebel was killing all the Lord's prophets, Obadiah hid 100 of them in two caves, 50 in one cave and 50 in another. He also brought them food and water. Ahab said to Obadiah, "Maybe we can find enough grass to keep our horses and mules alive and not have to kill our animals." So each one chose a part of the country to search. Ahab went in one direction and Obadiah in another. While Obadiah was on his way, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized Elijah, so he bowed down to the ground and said, "Elijah, is it really you, master?" "Yes," Elijah answered, "go tell your master that I am here." Then Obadiah said, "What wrong have I done for you to hand me over to Ahab like this? He will put me to death. As surely as the Lord your God lives, the king has sent people to every country to search for you. If the ruler said you were not there, Ahab forced the ruler to swear you could not be found in his country. Now you want me to go to my master and tell him Elijah is here? The Spirit of the Lord may carry you to some other place after I leave. If I go tell King Ahab you are here and he comes and doesn't find you, he will kill me. I have followed the Lord since I was a boy. Haven't you been told what I did? When Jezebel was killing the Lord's prophets, I hid 100 of them, 50 in one cave and 50 in another. I brought them food and water. Now you want me to go and tell my master you are here? He will kill me." Elijah answered, "As surely as the Lord All-Powerful lives, whom I serve, I will be seen by Ahab today." So Obadiah went to Ahab and told him where Elijah was. Then Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he asked, "Is it you, the biggest troublemaker in Israel?" Elijah answered, "I have not made trouble in Israel. You and your father's family have made all this trouble by not obeying the Lord's commands. You have gone after the Baals. Now tell all Israel to meet me at Mount Carmel. Also bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab called all the Israelites and those prophets to Mount Carmel. Elijah approached the people and said, "How long will you not decide between two choices? If the Lord is the true God, follow him. But if Baal is the true God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Elijah said, "I am the only prophet of the Lord here, but there are 450 prophets of Baal. Bring two bulls. Let the prophets of Baal choose one bull and kill it and cut it into pieces. Then let them put the meat on the wood, but they are not to set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull, putting the meat on the wood, but not setting fire to it. You prophets of Baal, pray to your God, and I will pray to the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to his wood is the true God." All the people agreed that this was a good idea. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "There are many of you, so you go first. Choose a bull and prepare it. Pray to your God, but don't start the fire." So they took the bull that was given to them and prepared it. They prayed to Baal from morning until noon, shouting, "Baal, answer us." But there was no sound, and no one answered. They danced around the altar they had built. At noon, Elijah began to make fun of them. "Pray louder," he said. "If Baal really is a god, maybe he's thinking or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping, so you will have to wake him." The prophets prayed louder, cutting themselves with swords and spears until their blood flowed, which was the way they worshipped. The afternoon passed, and the prophets continued to act like this until it was time for the evening sacrifice. But no voice was heard. Baal did not answer, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Now come to me." So they gathered around him, and Elijah rebuilt the altar of the Lord which had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one stone for each of the 12 tribes, the number of Jacob's sons. The Lord had changed Jacob's name to Israel. Elijah used these stones to rebuild the altar in honor of the Lord. Then he dug a ditch around the altar that was big enough to hold about 13 quarts of seed. Elijah put the wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, "Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the meat and on the wood." Then Elijah said, "Do it again," and they did it again. Then he said, "Do it a third time," and they did it the third time. So the water ran off the altar and filled the ditch. At the time for the evening sacrifice, the prophet Elijah went near the altar. "Lord, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel," he prayed. "Prove that you are the God of Israel and that I am your servant. Show these people that you commanded me to do all these things. Lord, answer my prayer so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you will change their minds." Then fire from the Lord came down and burned the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the ground around the altar. It also dried up the water in the ditch. When all the people saw this, they fell down to the ground crying, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God." Then Elijah said, "Capture the prophets of Baal. Don't let any of them run away." The people captured all the prophets. Then Elijah led them down to the Kishon Valley, where he killed them. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Now go eat and drink, because a heavy rain is coming." So King Ahab went to eat and drink. At the same time, Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, where he bent down to the ground with his head between his knees. Then Elijah said to his servant, "Go and look toward the sea." The servant went and looked. "I see nothing," he said. Elijah told him to go and look again. This happened 7 times. The 7th time, the servant said, "I see a small cloud the size of a human fist coming from the sea." Elijah told the servant, "Go to Ahab and tell him to get his chariot ready and go home now. Otherwise, the rain will stop him." After a short time, the sky was covered with dark clouds. The wind began to blow, and soon a heavy rain began to fall. Ahab got in his chariot and started back to Jezreel. The Lord gave his power to Elijah, who tightened his clothes around him and ran ahead of King Ahab all the way to Jezreel.
Chapter 15.
Then Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father takes care of the vineyard. He removes every one of my branches that doesn't produce fruit. He also prunes every branch that does produce fruit to make it produce more fruit. You are already clean because of what I have told you. Live in me and I will live in you. A branch cannot produce any fruit by itself. It has to stay attached to the vine. In the same way, you cannot produce fruit unless you live in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who live in me while I live in them will produce a lot of fruit, but you can't produce anything without me. Whoever doesn't live in me is thrown away like a branch and dries up. Branches like this are gathered, thrown into a fire, and burned. If you live in me and what I say lives in you, then ask for anything you want, and it will be yours. You give glory to my Father when you produce a lot of fruit, and therefore show that you are my disciples. I have loved you the same way the Father has loved me. So live in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will live in my love. I have obeyed my Father's commandments, and in that way I live in his love. I have told you this so that you will be as joyful as I am, and your joy will be complete. Love each other as I have loved you. This is what I'm commanding you to do. The greatest love you can show is to give your life for your friends. You are my friends if you obey my commandments. I don't call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I have appointed you to go, to produce fruit that will last, and to ask the Father in my name to give you whatever you ask for. Love each other. This is what I'm commanding you to do. If the world hates you, realize that it hated me before it hated you. If you had anything in common with the world would love you as one of its own. But you don't have anything in common with the world. I chose you from the world, and that's why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant isn't greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they did what I said, they will also do what you say. Indeed, they will do all this to you because you are committed to me, since they don't know the one who sent me. If I hadn't come and spoken to them, they wouldn't have any sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. The person who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done among them what no one else has done, they wouldn't have any sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. In this way, what is written in their scriptures has come true. They hate me for no reason. The Helper whom I will send to you from the Father will come. This Helper, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, will declare the truth about me. You will declare the truth too, because you have been with me from the beginning.